What's up, everybody? You are now tuned in to the Grown As Fuck podcast. Let's go.
Wendy Sterling used to do it. I've never asked her about it, but she used to talk about selling her panties. Oh, but I was like, I can do that. Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, because you're sitting on it?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
So get back to your panties. You sold the panties?
No, because I was like, oh, no. There's no personal interaction going on. And he was like, well, I'll give you $250. And I was like, no. I was like, now this is getting so creepy. So I was like, no. And he's like, all right, well, if you change your mind, you know, the price could go up.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he wanted you to deliver the
panties.
Yeah,
he wanted like an interaction. And I was like, oof.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Perfect.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Grown As Fuck. I'm your host, Von DiCarlo, and I got my comedy bestie here. I'm so excited. Yay.
Anytime
I'm with this woman, she just puts me in a good mood. I don't know why we're friends, but she is a hilarious comedian and writer and all kinds of good stuff you do. So she's like,
bunch of stuff.
When she wakes up,
which I did just an hour ago,
4 p.m., she's actually pretty funny. Welcome to the show, Allie Bree.
Thank you, Vaughn. I'm so happy to be here.
I don't even know where to begin with you. Like I said, we're friends, but probably shouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
We have totally different political views.
The first time we met, we fought for like an hour.
No, you and Keith fought. Let's
yeah,
be
that's
clear.
True.
If anybody is familiar with Keith Robinson, hopefully he'll come on the show one day. He probably won't.
He will.
But he is one of the worst, best people you will ever meet in your life. He is a hilarious comedian. He's a veteran in the game. And he was headlining at Governor's in Long Island. And I went with Keith to Governor's. And she was hosting or featuring one or the other.
I don't even remember. I think probably hosting. I don't remember. Were you not hosting? Maybe you were hosting and I was featuring. Oh, were you doing guest sets?
I don't know.
Whatever it was. It was a while ago. We were on the show in some capacity.
We were on the show in some capacity. Keith was headlining.
Yeah.
I rode up there with Keith. Yep. Did you ride up or you rode back? No, you rode back with us.
I think we went both ways together because I think dumb Keith got an Uber both ways.
Yeah, he always gets an Uber.
So we all met. But the way there maybe was fine. And the way back was when we all kicked off.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's a blur.
One thing that
and
Keith
it's Keith and Allie. Keith no, tries
don't,
to start
I don't
stuff.
Don't,
it
she
is
knew
true,
where I was about
100%.
To go. Here's the thing. Keith and Allie are the same damn person. They are both fire starters. They like to...
Not me.
Lies. They throw shit out there and see who's going to hop on it and then just watch the room blow up. They both do that. So when they're in the same room, see, with me, I think when people are talking, it's for a purpose and we might actually learn and grow. This is my dumb ass. I'm in a car with this crazy person and that other crazy person, Keith Robinson, and... The conversation is always political with them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Always political.
It gets heated quick.
So the conversation started out like a normal, let's learn and grow. Let's figure this out, people. We are the world.
Yeah, we have different opinions.
Different
we can opinions. Figure this out
we can
and work together.
4 hours later, I was like, I'm tapping out. They wouldn't stop. This was the most ridiculous back and forth. I can't say I didn't have the mental capacity for it. I just didn't have the stamina.
Yeah.
I don't have the stamina for her or Keith. I tapped out and they were still going.
Right when we'll resolve something, we'll be like, wait, but what about this? We'll just go back through again.
Both these fire starters just keep throwing more gasoline at the fire. And I'm sitting there like, yay, we solved something. Oh, shit.
Here it goes again.
So I went to sleep. But I don't know if that was like,
we showed up
what,
at the show exhausted. I think that was on the way to the show.
It was
literally we got there and
yes.
No one wanted to perform. We were just
nobody
like,
wanted to perform. And Keith will definitely be like, yeah,
do the whole time. He'll throw people on there.
Then he wants to watch you.
Yeah, and critique.
He hopes that you bomb.
Nothing would make him happier.
But that's how we met.
Yeah.
And we have been friends ever since. So like I
like
say, every time I
close
see you, I'm
yeah.
like always in a good mood when I... No, I'm your close friend. You're not my close friend.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's just how I am with clothes. I'm like, when I wake up at 2, I'll be able to.
I'll text her at like 7 a.m. with my mom hours.
And then literally when she hasn't heard from me in like 5 hours, she's like, what is wrong? Are we not friends anymore? I'm like, I literally just woke up.
I'm so sensitive. Like, people, once they get to know me, they're like, oh, Vaughn is just really sensitive and a little needy and a little cray cray. And then if you stick around, I'm like, we're soulmates.
The best. We are soulmates.
I don't know how. So she texts me. She had an extra ticket. Can I bring this up?
Yes, please. Yes.
Because this is a great example of how you can be friends with somebody and then just go, how am I friends with you? So she had an extra ticket to go see Book of Mormon.
Yes. Which I immediately was like, Vaughn will love this.
I love musicals.
Loves musicals, loves comedy. It's the South Park. I was like, Vaughn will love this.
How could I not love it? I used to work in a theater district when I was bartending at the Nederlander Theater. Did you know that? I bartended for like 7 years.
I didn't know that, but I know you sang. I know you used to do musical improv.
So for 12 years, I think Rent was on Broadway. I was bartending next door at the Nederlander Theater for 7 of the 12 years. So like amazing. Rent is like my whole life. No day but today. I'm going to cry right now.
One song.
Girl, you know Rent?
I love Rent, yes.
She goes to see musicals all the time.
I love theater, of course she does. Yes.
So I know people that are in Book of Mormon, and I've only heard good things about Book of Mormon, but I never saw it. So I go see Book of Mormon, and I'm sitting there clutching.
I mean, first 10 girls. Minutes, yeah.
The whole time.
But immediately is what I'm saying. Like, right away. And I forgot, right when the curtain went up, I was like, oh boy, I forgot about certain aspects. I remember that it could be offensive to Mormons. I forgot that it could also be offensive. What? Yeah. That's all. Vaughn didn't even see that part of it. She was like, I only see it as offensive.
I didn't give a shit about being offensive to the Mormons. Because it was done so lightweight. This was the most racist shit I have ever seen in my life. Excuse me.
I still maintain that it's such a parody.
It was so many unnecessary stereotypical moments aimed at black people and the whole continent of Africa.
But they're doing it.
I was looking at
Allie
like, I'm gonna beat your ass as soon as we leave the
It's like, oh my tongue God. In cheek. It's
so
literally
South Park.
That's the thing. It's South Park. They're like, this is a racial stereotype. We're going to highlight it times 10 to show you how ridiculous.
It was so unnecessary. The Mormon stuff was so lightweight. It was almost like, it wasn't tongue in cheek, but it was like, how can I explain it? It wasn't hardcore at all. It was almost like, it was a very lightweight.
It is lightweight on the religion, you mean? No, it's not. But the part of it that is...
It was just poking fun.
But it's poking fun, and this is why the racist angle comes in, I feel like. It's because they're talking about sending super white, super, like, wonderbred Midwest missionaries out to Africa to help them by showing them the Bible.
And so when they say Africa, right... hold that thought. When they said Africa, the music, it went dark. It was like, duh, duh, duh. Like, Africa's the worst place on earth. Granted, there are horrible places in Africa, but there are beautiful places in Africa. People go all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful. They portrayed Africa and Africans as the most savage monkeys. Like, let's be real. They portrayed Africans as like savage animal. I was like, what is happening? And then they tricked me because remember when they were like about to go to Africa and this lady with the most beautiful voice you have ever heard on Broadway comes out and she's like, and you think she's doing this Lion King thing and that they landed in Africa
and they're about to show a beautiful majestic.
And then it was like a Cypher Sounds record scratch. And the white Mormon family came out and was like, surprise. It was their surprise going away party. And it was like, we got our neighbor, Miss Brown, to come sing.
But that was also a parody because they're in the whitest place. So there is no Miss Brown. They made her try to become
First of all,
the biggest stereotype
Miss Brown,
of Africa.
Yeah, it was a very big stereotype. And she, not only could she sing and you thought she was from Africa, but when she started to speak, when you found out it, she was just a neighbor, she didn't speak like this. She didn't speak regular. She was like, oh, her child.
Oh, yeah.
She went into the most Aunt Jemima, honey child.
Which is part of the satire. I swear to God. And that's the thing. It's like they're talking about, the joke is that you're sending religious missionaries to teach the Bible to people who... Their problems are so severe. Their problems are basically, literally, they're cutting girls' clits off. They're circumcising women.
I'm not saying that there aren't crazy things going on. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. But what I'm saying is, it was me and maybe one other black person in a theater. And I was like, Allie?
But that is just the demographics of the theater. I don't think that had to do specifically with this show.
I felt uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable like how I feel if I'm in a gym and I got control of the music in the room and Rick Ross come on. And I see a white girl running on a treadmill to Too Many N-Words. I'm like, not today, bitch, not today. Turn on Justin Bieber up in this motherfucker. Where's Justin Bieber? So I look, we could go on and on about it. We saw it differently.
Well, and now, but it's funny because before I didn't see any of that until I was sitting next to you feeling how uncomfortable you were. And then
and
I was
that's
like,
that's what I want to talk about.
Boy, yeah.
Because sometimes
I can understand that.
You don't
see the other perspective.
Aren't bad. They just don't know any better sometimes.
I mean, some are bad. Some are bad.
Girl.
Generally speaking, but
I'm
also,
trying to save you from the internet, the ignanet.
But that's what I agree with. Everything, like, racial relations, they act on the news. Like, everyone hates each other. And everyone walks out the door and is like, I want to kill anyone of a different race than me. I don't think that's the case at all. But I do think there's a lot of misunderstanding going on where people who grew up in certain places don't know the perspective of other people.
Right. And that's why I like talking to you so much. Because we learn so much about our differences, but we could still be friends, which...
Yeah. Well, because also you can
see... I think we're friends. I'm a killer.
We're those kind of friends that show up on Snapped. They're like, yeah. They were best friends. And then all of a sudden, one of them was eating brownies. But I was like, are there razors in these brownies? Why'd Vaughn bake me these razor brownies?
I don't know. Maybe it was the Make America Great Again hat. In the living room when
but
I was with
here's you. The thing, I feel like when people have different perspectives, this is my view on like the world. Basically, people want a better world for each person. They want no, we're very professional.
I'm like
stuff around.
Steven, our very loud producer, interrupted the flow.
No problem. I think everyone wants everything to go in a better way for themselves and for other people. But how they want to get there is different. And most people don't understand. They think that how people want to get there is by stomping on other people.
Right.
And sometimes that might be the case, but I think generally it's not. So most people can't talk about why they think different ways. And I don't know. We can. We never come to the
right.
same. We never
but
actually
because
agree.
Because we're both comics.
But we can be like...
We agree to disagree 9 out of 10 times, but I do think if we could separate our comedian brains into our human being brain, that maybe we see each other's side. This is the benefit of the doubt I'm giving her, y'all. That because, okay, perfect example. So I meet Allie for dinner, right? And first of all, my hair is normally short and curly, my natural curl, whatever, but I got my vacation hair in. My daughter's about to turn 21.
It's her woke hair.
I show up to see Allie yesterday. We're eating. I walk in, and the first thing she does is grab my hair. She's like, oh, my God, your hair's so cute. I was like, bitch, did you just touch my hair?
100%.
Did you just touch my hair?
Yep.
Did she just touch my hair? So here's my question. Here's my question, because it was funny. She was like, oh my God, you got your woke hair in. This is your anti-Trump hair. And then
Keith was like, it's her impeachment hair.
It's her impeachment hair. So they went back and forth about my woke hair. So here's my real question though, because we're all comics, that's funny. And we all get each other's context very easily because we're comfortable with each other. So it's like, you could stab, you could talk shit, you could roast about your roast roast your friend.
Yes.
But if someone else does it, it's like, okay, we got to all go fight this person.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So
yeah.
That's how I feel about you and Keith and people that I'm friends with that are comics.
And it does come from more of a, because Vaughn, with her curly hair, you book everything. Literally, they're like, we love her. She's Italian. She's Puerto Rican. She's black. She's white. She's whatever we want her to be. And then she puts in her woke hair. And they're like, oh, she's 100% black. And she might be angry with Trump. And she maybe, like, there's a specific.
But here's the thing. Nobody doesn't know I'm just a light-skinned black woman with my natural curly hair, except non-black people.
Exactly. But that's why it's so funny, I think, that you book everything with curly hair.
I do book a lot of commercials.
You're the same.
I haven't booked one recently. Like, I'm taking this hair out.
Your spirit and your face, like the beauty and like the glow and everything's there no matter what. But then you put, have you booked any commercials with the braids?
No, I never booked any commercials with my woke hair. I did Montreal, LOL yeah. Network. I had this in Laugh Tracks on True TV. I had my faux locks in. I like them.
I love them.
They're easy to maintain and all of that. My curly hair just gets exhausting sometimes. And you just want to change.
Yeah.
But people do act like they don't know who you are. Like, people are probably going to be watching this like, oh, where's Vaughn? You know, you walk into a room, they're like, oh, that's you. You look completely different. And I get that. But here's my question.
Yes.
Here's my don't make a joke. I don't trust her or Keith. They always have a joke. Here's my real person question. Do white women know better than to not touch your damn hair? Like,
no,
I feel like you're comfortable with me. So it was like, oh, you knew I would be like, bitch, did you touch my head?
Yeah.
Like, you knew that would be the reaction. You knew you was going to say the woke hair thing. You knew it was going to be a thing. And we would laugh. But if it wasn't me, like, do you walk around touching black women's hair?
No, I was going to say, if it's someone, if it's
how
like,
do you have hands?
If it's someone I'm friends with. But not well. Like, if it's like Marina, I'll change her hair. I mean, she hasn't in a while, but when she did,
Marina Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. I would never.
Funny
comedian. Yeah, you're right. I would never go up. But it was because also we had already had, because you before had already done dreads and curls mm-hmm. and stuff, and we had talked about it. No, that was the only reason. But at the same time, I know that I wouldn't with someone else, but I wouldn't realize, oh, it's a real like faux pas. Like, I wouldn't think, because with girls like that I'm friends with, in any race or if anyone changes their hair, I feel like my friend Chrissy dyed her hair purple, and I was like, oh my god! Like
white woman,
or white woman to black woman. If it's a close friend and you change your hair, I'm
let's
touching.
Let's stay
it.
On race.
If it's a white woman to black woman that I don't know,
would you? Is it just a white women touch each other's hair all the time, so it's okay amongst y'all?
Maybe. I don't
so
think
you
about it at
don't
all.
Think that it's a racial thing.
Like, do you have, like, even with kids around you, do kids come up and, like, play with your hair? So, like, if you're at an event, like a family event, and there's kids that don't. Like, my nieces and nephews will always come up and play with
white
my hair.
White women are not
like,
victims, Allie. They're not children. Don't see. I
don't think of it at all, though. That's the thing. Like, is it a big deal? It's a big deal.
Well, that's
deal
what
if
I'm
someone...
saying. And I think that would be a learned part of this conversation is, If white women amongst white women, like, that's just what y'all do culturally.
Yeah.
You play with each other's hair. It changes. It's like, oh, my God, you look so pretty. But on our end, as a black woman, could it be that sometimes it's a racial thing where it's like, are you touching me like I'm some type of zoo animal that, like, are you petting me out of curiosity? Or is it a human-to-human thing, like, you're not looking at me like a zoo animal, and you're just doing a regular hair thing that you do.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a regular hair thing that I do.
I don't believe it. No.
I would never even think. The only thing, the funny thing is, I thought women would get offended. Like, my old roommate would get extensions a lot of times, or, like, a perm or whatever, and she would always get upset because guys would touch her hair, and she was like, they're checking for, like, they're checking to see what's going on.
It could be a lot of different things.
That was the offensive thing more. I don't know what's offensive about it. But the zoo thing, that's funny. I never understood that.
Because that's happened to me before. Like, I remember one time I was in a store. I was visiting my best friend, who I call my sister, Autumn.
Yes.
I was visiting her for my birthday a few years ago. She lives in Houston,
okay,
in Texas. And we were at a store. It wasn't like Swarovski. Help me.
Sephora?
So Swarovski crystal.
Oh, yes. Did I say that? I don't know how to say that either.
I can't say words. Yeah. The crystal place. It was like one of those. It wasn't there, but it was one of those type of places. Yes. Pier 1 Import. They sell like weird like stuff. And the lady who worked there, I had my woke hair in.
Okay.
And she came up to me and I could just tell by her energy and how she was looking at me. And then she reached out and I did the Matrix. I did the Matrix on her, like, because the energy behind it wasn't like, oh my God. It was like a, what is this? And that's when you start feeling like a zoo animal. Like, am I behind a cage? Are you petting me? Like, don't touch my hair. So I think it could be a little bit of both, but sometimes I think the lines could get crossed because like devil's advocate, I could see how we as black women could be a little sensitive in that area. And maybe it has nothing to do with that. And it's, hey, this is on your side of the culture wheel. This is what we do to everybody.
Like, oh, someone changes their hair. Like, oh, let me check. Like, yeah, I don't think there's never any more thought behind it. But you're right. I wouldn't, if someone had cool hair that I didn't know, like that historically, I would never just go up and be like, oh, that's so, I feel right. Like it's just friends that I would do that to. But I would do that to any of my friends without thinking twice. I never put anything more
like
behind it.
Black women don't, because I was just watching you do that to your hair. And I asked myself, do I have a desire to touch Allie's hair? And I think we don't have a desire to touch white women's hair because we've been touching y'all hair forever. Like, y'all make Barbie dolls out of white people hair. So we know
what it feels like.
I'm not curious at all. I know what that baby doll hair feels like. So maybe
that's
there's no curiosity.
There might be, because like, there's a very limited amount we can do like with this hair. And it seems cool to be like, oh my God, you can all, like, you have all these styles, like when it's curly or when it's like an afro or when it's dreads.
How do you feel about white women who get, like, I remember it was a while ago, but like Kim Kardashian and a couple like famous white women get the braids and stuff and they get some type of backlash about it.
I don't know. I mean, my stance on like the cultural appropriation is different, I guess, because I'm coming from it. I feel like it's like a tribute. I think it's like, I know. It's only been recent that I realized how offensive it is to people. I was like, I don't get it. They're doing something that they think is cool. Like, it's like,
it's a tribute.
Kind of. It's like Kim Kardashian clearly loves black people, loves black culture, wishes probably in some way that she was black. She's got four black kids, so how is that not a tribute? I was like, that's so not offensive to me.
When
I feel like she's doing something she loves.
When you call it a tribute, it almost sounded condescending. I'm not sure why. Sometimes it takes me 3 or 4 days to come up with an answer for when I'm dealing with her and Keith. It takes me a couple days, and now I'm like, you know what?
I thought of what it was that made me
That's
feel...
why she don't text me back right away, because she know I probably thought of something.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need to hear. I'll wait until I get back into this argument. No, Vaughn, though, before when we've had arguments, you've done the worst thing in the world. You've called me three-way with Keith. I was like, oh, now we're going to be on the phone for 3.5
what
hours.
What was that about?
I can't remember, but that was really funny, whatever it was. And then you even regretted it. Like an hour in, you're like, why did I do this?
Yeah, it was like when we were in the car, I'm like, I tap out. And then I have you on speaker and I take a nap.
But
while
as far
you
as that
Keith
kind
go
of stuff, that's the weird thing. Like, I get when I hear the other side, I'm like, oh, I get why this is offensive to people. But I was like, but the people who are doing it don't have that intent at all.
That's where the line is. I do believe that, and I like to be fair. I like to try and see everybody's side of the story, even if it's something against me. I feel like something is there.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I think there's a huge portion of people that just don't get it and don't think it's being offensive. They think they're doing a tribute of some sort. And it's
not
malicious.
Or it might not even be a tribute, but they're just doing something they think is cool. And I don't know that it's healthy to keep everyone's culture like confined. I think it's cool when it bleeds out.
Right.
Like,
has a joke about Jewish people in jeans. I forget the comic, so I'm not gonna. I would never do another comic thing
without
being
giving
there.
The
but
right
I
credit.
Forget who it is. But they do point out like, oh well, if it's cultural appropriation, da 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 da. So we do cross over a lot of different things. But I
and
think,
that's what makes cultures better. I think you cherry pick good stuff.
I agree. But what happens is, and what the huge problem is, and what Black people have been screaming, one of the many things that is screamed and never heard, except amongst each other, is, yeah, that's fine, do that, do your tribute. What is it? It's a form of flattery.
Yeah.
Copying someone is a form of flattery. Here's the problem. When white people do certain things, they get praised for it. Whereas Black women are told that, have been told for eons that they're not attractive because of their hair, because of their full lips, because of their dark complexions.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you and Uncle Trump tan for 25 hours.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, you're so dark. You look great. I love those braids. Who are you tributing, Beyonce? Like, I think that's where it comes from, where it's like, why are you beautiful when you do it? But it's literally what I am, but yeah. I'm ugly. I'm the zoo animal. You just want to, ooh, and then you take and not give. Like.
Yeah, I get it. I see that perspective. And I think, though, that in raising all those things up, like in making all those things beautiful, it raises up all of the cultures that have used them for years. But I get the anger of like, hey, why wasn't it cool until white people started doing it?
Exactly.
And so now we don't want it to be cool. So don't.
I'm making Allie get woke braids. Like, I'm making you walk around with woke braids just so you could see.
I wish we could see the
reaction of people.
Yeah.
And like even just standing on the corner with you and see if you get catcalled a little bit more.
Oh, that would be amazing. Love that. But that's the thing too. It's like there's so many things that used to be, even with you look at like old art, like bodies, it used to be that it was as white and like fat as you could be was attractive because it meant that you didn't have to work. And then it just all changes over time.
It's circling back around because I don't know if you heard the news, but if Lizzo is in a room and you're in a room, they're going to kick you down the stairs to get the Lizzo.
That's been happening for a while. I used to live in Harlem.
That's why you're gaining weight.
Yes.
Keith called her Fat Allie because she got a little put. Like,
I'm trying to get that ass so I can get some attention.
She is cornbread fat, y'all. That's the thing. I think that's why we get along, because somewhere deep down in her soul, she is culture appropriating food. And all she do is eat. And she eat every stereotypical thing that you could think of.
Yeah, Mama used to say, I eat like a Black person. He was like, yeah, it's all like, I love soul food, whatever you want to call it. It's so good.
Whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it when you season food, it's like, I want it.
And fry stuff and frozen drinks. And
she sleeps so late. Bad. You know, she's a stereotypical, you know. But they be putting it on us, but it be done. But I want to give you this. We're going to wrap up soon because I could talk to you literally all day.
And that's the thing, before you interrupt, I don't know if it was Chappelle or whoever said it, like those stereotypes that about fried chicken and water, it's like those things are just delicious that everyone likes. I don't even get how those are stereotypes of certain reasons.
Because
like,
y'all wanted to make us look like lazy zoo animals.
I don't even know how that would do that, though. It's like everyone. There's like a divide in my understanding with some of the stereotypes that are, because even like complimentary stereotypes are offensive now. Like everything is offensive to the point where you're.
Are you offended by any white stereotypes? Like you smell like bologna or wet dog when it rains. Like, are you offended by that?
I mean.
And do you smell like bologna and wet dog when you get wet?
I hope not. That would be so disappointing to find out. Oh, it's not that I have a skinny ass. It's the bologna smell. That's why not getting me any attention.
Why do you think I don't text you or call you on days when it's raining?
Yeah, I mean, if there were real, I don't even know what the real, is that a real stereotype?
Oh my God.
I don't even know what the real stereotypes are.
No, that's a real stereotype that when you get wet, when it rains, you smell like wet dogs. Wow.
See,
she didn't even know, y'all. She didn't even know.
I don't know what, I mean, I guess.
Let me tell you why you're not offended. She doesn't even know why she's not offended.
I was going to say.
Here's why she's not offended.
I might not be
Because
human.
She's never been oppressed. That's why. You've never been held back. But, and because of stereotypes, because of your race or color or any of those things. And maybe because you're a woman.
And I know as a culture, it's been really tough. Do you personally feel like you've been held back in your personal life because of your
race? No, I'm half white. No, I'm just...
You're half smelling wet dog.
I smell like wet dog. I was, you know, that stereotype came from my mom. No. Yes and no. It's systematic.
Okay.
Systemic racism is very real. You grow up with it. You don't even know it's in you until you're old enough to reflect and understand, like, why is my self-esteem so low? You know, and I come from a place where I have many reasons for my self-esteem to be low, but just as an example, I remember elementary school. I used to be scared to read out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Because when, you know, I lived, grew up in a projects. My mother was only, there was two white people that lived in the projects. My mom and Miss Sharon, they were both married to black men and had two black kids. So when I used to go to school to read, I'm around my cousins, my family, my friend, you know, just us.
Yeah.
And we talk how we talk. And when you go to school, it seemingly everyone sounds a little bit more articulate.
Sure.
There's no accents. There's no lazy language. There's no slang. And without anyone ever saying it to me, when I would listen to the white kids read out loud and the reaction of the teachers, it just was better.
Okay.
So it made me feel less, like not as smart, like insecure. Dumb, insecure.
Yeah.
And this is all happening in school and in my mind. And it took me growing up and becoming a young adult and reflecting and going, wait a minute. These poor white trash, and they dumb as hell. They dumb. They're dumb. They didn't know shit. They didn't know nothing. They were not smarter than me at all, but it felt that way. So it's just embedded in us. I mean, we'll this show will be 4 hours long if I had to teach you everything. I mean, racism 101, Allie, Jesus Christ. Hot spot question.
Okay.
It's a double part for you.
Okay.
Are you Republican? Are you still Republican? And are you voting for Donald Trump in a 2020 election?
I am libertarian.
That's what they say in now.
Libertarian.
That's the new word for them.
It's the truth.
I
actually, Gary Johnson was a libertarian candidate that was good in the last election that didn't get any traction. I did not vote for Trump in the last election.
You voted for Hillary?
I didn't vote in the last election, but I would have voted for Gary Johnson.
Somebody get my gun.
I
don't have a gun.
I went to the voting place twice in the day, and the line was so long that I was like, Hillary's going to win New York anyways. What am I bothering voting for?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I would have voted for Gary Johnson. That's who I was going to vote for. So it was neat. I hated Hillary. I did not like Trump. I don't hate him, as everyone does, as you know. But I think that if the Democratic candidate is Michael Bloomberg, I will vote for Michael Bloomberg.
Okay.
If it's anyone else, I'm going to vote for Trump.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think the economy is ripping right now. I mean, black, Latino, and female unemployment is at an all-time low. I liked what he did in Iran.
Fake news. I don't have
it
a job.
It is not fake news. It is not fake news. You have like 80 jobs. By the way, you have so many jobs.
Hey.
There's so many, the borders, I think it's crazy that the left want open borders and free healthcare for illegal immigrants. I mean, it's getting too far left, the left. It's crazy to me.
Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line with
me. If the Democrats can come up with a good candidate, I would vote Democrat.
Here's the sad part about dummy Trump. I'm not saying that he doesn't have any good, solid points or ideas.
Right.
For instance, I don't think that we should just have open borders and no rules and people just come in here. Like, if there's a system for a reason, follow it.
Yeah.
Do I think people should be locked up in cages? Absolutely not. Should families be split apart? Absolutely not. Do I have the answers? No, I'm not Sway and I'm not Kanye. I don't know. But it's so hard because he's such an outwardly lying, narcissistic, disgusting bigot. It's hard to hear any of his good ideas that actually make sense. You cannot go, you know what, I'm a ride with that, because of the economy or because of the immigration thing or because of whatever, because of the way he goes about it is he's basically saying, I am your oppressor. I am President, Dictator, King, Trump, and you, fuck you. And look at Melania. Naked. She's five
pretty
different languages.
Stunning.
She is not. She's basic.
Wait, why do you think that? I mean, okay. For a first lady, though, compared to most of them, she's
compared
she's
to who? There. Michelle Obama.
No, Michelle.
We gonna fight.
Time.
We gonna this the end of this podcast.
Michelle
is gonna be me
takes
dragging
place.
Allie by her baby doll hair.
By the way, yeah, like you said, you didn't touch hair. By the way,
no.
If Michelle Obama would run, she would win.
She would absolutely win.
If she
win.
Would win as would anyone's running win. Mate, they would win. But
yeah.
She's too smart and good for she's not going to put herself in that position. But
I think that Barack Obama spoke on that. He's like, I don't want my wife to like endure.
To go through. She's beloved. She has an amazing life. Why would
yeah.
you put yourself through that? Half the country's going to hate you. You're going to have to, your kids are going to have to put up with being in the spotlight again for, but no, I think, I agree he's a despicable person in a lot of ways. I don't see this vigilant oppressor that everyone else sees. I don't see that he's wielding power more than any other president wields power. I mean, Obama made tons of rules by executive
Allie?
Decision without going to Congress. Allie? How is he more of an oppressive leader?
I'm not saying Obama was perfect, okay?
Yes.
They're all politicians.
Yeah, they're
but
all
what,
politicians.
This is a perfect time to go into grown as fuck gripes.
Okay.
What you not gonna do? It's tell me you don't see what Donald Trump is. You can't tell me that you really believe what you just said.
In what aspect?
You like said you don't see him as this dictator, oppressive
he's
guy.
He's the president.
Like,
he has all the rules and regulations that someone else.
He basically said, go fuck yourself with the impeachment. He just was like, I'm not showing up. I'm not doing, I don't care.
But Congress had the chance to impeach him. And they
he's
didn't. They decided every
he just,
time.
He fired everybody. He's like, oh, right. Yes, you said
ain't gonna
you
tell
said,
me.
You said my phone call wasn't perfect. Fired. You're fired. You're fired.
No, but he
you
fired them all
that?
After the impeachment happened, after the hearings. That's what you do, basically. If he couldn't have fired them beforehand, because
this is gonna go on.
But listen, if someone goes against you and then you win, I mean, he basically won the impeachment hearing. It was thrown out.
This is what.
Then he said, "Hey, everyone who
example.
Went against me, I'm gonna fire," which is what anyone
is
would do. You don't have them in your administration.
Earlier, I'm not even listening to her anymore. I don't even hear what she's saying.
But
I'm
here's the thing:
so I can still be your friend, and don't think. I didn't hear her say what you not gonna
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I was gonna go into that.
That's what
I was trying
and
to
this
say.
This is what
like,
I'm saying. She did that
up.
On purpose. You know how to say what you
what
not
you
gonna
not
do.
Gonna do is
why you
say...
saying it? Why you trying to say it black? See, the culture appropriating the whole situation.
Wait till I show up with my dreads on the next show. What you not gonna do is say that Trump is taking everyone hostage and stealing the presidency. And what he's gone through, everyone, the Democrats have tried everything to get him out of office. Nothing has stuck. The press used to love him. He used to be best friends with Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and all these people. And now all of a sudden he's this giant racist who's out to get people. It's just the media is skewed. He's definitely far from perfect. He's very flawed. He speaks like a maniac. But what he's trying to do in office is, I agree with maybe 70% of it.
I feel like Allie Breen is my oppressor.
When, this is the last day of our friendship.
No, don't leave me. I'm still needy. Wait, no, don't go.
It's like the Stockholm syndrome that you talk about.
Oh my God.
You need your oppressor.
That's a whole nother episode. I hope I can have you back. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to love you.
Oh yeah. This is going to be. The comments are going to be brutal. Be kind, you guys. I'm a nice
they're
person.
They're
going to
attack me more than you. Oh, they're like, why are you friends with
that? That is true.
Yeah, but
that make America great, bitch. Get her out.
She let me drive her car. Anyway,
anytime.
So, y'all, we gotta go. I have fun. Thank
yeah,
you.
I did
Where
too.
Can people find you? Like I said, she's a very
oh, yeah.
funny comedian. She tours with Artie Lang.
Yeah, if you check out Artie's dates, I'm on tour with Artie Lang. Every Wednesday, I'm on the Bob and Tom show, which is really only in the Midwest.
That's, what is that? Fox? What is that? What is Bob? I know what it is. Tell them what
it's
it is.
It's just a morning radio show. It's non-political, actually. We don't do politics at all. So
okay.
You guys don't have to hear horrible opinions about that. And then you can find me on social media at Allie Breen across the platforms. Instagram,
Yay.
Twitter.
Yay, thank you for Yay. Coming.
Thanks, Mom.
Don't touch me. Can't, it's a ring. Okay, I need a hug. Okay. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God. That was so fun. Much fun.
Oh, my God. Oh. Get out.
Yeah, that's going
to be. I have to change for Don.
Oh, sure.
What you're not going to do is sit and complain about Trump, and you ain't getting out and vote.
That's it. Thanks for tuning in to the Grown as Fuck podcast and telling me all your grown as fuck gripes.